We desire your prayers tonight. We have quite a heavy burden. I was talking to Brother Philip, I don't know, 2 weeks ago maybe or whatever, and he was talking a little bit about the meeting, not a whole lot. I said, the Lord might have given me my first message, or a message for the meeting, however I said it. That was preached Monday night. But the Lord didn't go ahead and develop that. I wouldn't have preached. It would have been the same line of thought, but a different word. Brother Marty, I think, used the word, what's important, and I would have used another word, but it would have been on the same line. But the Lord has been dealing with me on another line since days before the meeting. And I need your prayers that the Lord will help us to be able to deliver it. It's serious. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, please. I believe we'll start there. I've got so much on my heart I don't hardly know where to start. So I beg for your prayers. I don't have my sweetheart here as a backup, so I'm going to have you preachers to back me up tonight. 4th chapter, Matthew. We'll start reading about the 12th verse, 4 and 12 of Matthew. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now what I want to deal with tonight, my main burden is the subject of light. But I want to deal with darkness also. And Brother Rodney kind of set the scene for me last night. And on the 5th of November, at about 10:53 p.m. in the state of Oklahoma, Becky and I was home, and I was fixing to brush my teeth, and she was fixing to exit the bedroom to go back into the out of the bathroom into the bedroom, and all of a sudden, to my right, sounded like in our closet, which is just right back over here, a kaboom! And it scared us both about to death. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I've never been so scared to death. I didn't know what it was. And that wouldn't have been, that was whatever, but then the shaking started. And it shook for a little bit, and then all the lights went out, and we were in total darkness. Now, not only did we have an explosion that scared us about half to death, then we had the shaking that shook everything up, then we had no light to see. I didn't know I knew where to go. I knew where the flashlights were. I knew where to get light, but it wasn't close at hand. I had to go quite a ways back to get it. And Rebecca and I stood there praying, and a lot of you all, you heard a rumbling, deep rumbling and stuff like that, but it's different when you're at the epicenter. I was only about 10, 12 miles from actually where the main thing was, and that's where those of us that lived right in that area in Prague and Meeker, we had the explosion part of it that I didn't know ever existed. But it was dark. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see the cracks. I couldn't see the floor. I couldn't see anything. It was total dark. Folks, darkness is horrible. Now, Brother Dan, that night you and I walked out to the shop, and we went in there, and he was showing me a shop building, and I believe he had a pickup in there they were working on. We're going to go in there, Brother Dan. We're going to get some tools all laid out. We're going to get all ready. Then I'm going to turn the lights off. How much repair can you do on that pickup? All right, sisters, I want you to clean. We're going to get about dark. And we're going to go in there and we're going to start. And just about the time you get the first clean spot cleaned, I'm going to turn all the lights out. How much cleaning can you do? Our sisters, we're going to prepare supper. And you get all ready to prepare and start putting everything together and the lights goes out. How much of a meal can you cook? You're in a hospital room, in a surgery room. My sister was recently, several months back now, she worked in Denver. And in this particular hospital, they was opening up a new, basically a whole new hospital, I guess. And they opened up a surgery, new surgery area. And Kim told me, she said, "Carl, this is the most state-of-the-art hospital surgery I've ever seen. The lights that they use up over the operating table for the techs and the surgeons and everything to work in," she said, "I've never seen lights like that." She took pictures of them and sent them to me. Well, I wouldn't know anything about it. I've never been in an operating room that I could remember. I had my tonsils taken out way back yonder, but that's been many moons ago. And I didn't remember that, of course. And so consequently, she said, "This is a state of the art in light." But I got news for you. If those lights go out, those lights won't do those doctors a bit of good. Darkness. He says here in the fourth chapter, he says that the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Which sat in darkness. There's a lot of people that is sitting in darkness tonight. Darkness is the absence of light. There's multitudes upon multitudes of people that need light and need understanding, and they're not there. They're sitting in the shadow of the region of death. They're sitting in darkness because they have no light. It's all you got to do to make darkness is take away light. That's all it is. It's the absence of light. Everything becomes dark when you take it away. What is the darkest dark that you've ever had? I was in South Carolina one time. Well, I lived there. I wasn't there. I wasn't there for a meeting. I was there. My dog got to howling under my bedroom window, making a lot of noise. I couldn't sleep, so I got out there and I caught him. And I said, "Come on, let's go over here." And I had him chained out the end of the home there and way off down there where he could bark all he wanted to. It wouldn't bother me. So I went down there and it was dark. I got him chained up and I turned back toward the house and all of a sudden a noise started. I have no idea what it was. I had a flashlight, but I couldn't see a thing. I had woods all around me. For those of you that have been there, you know. And I couldn't see a thing. But this noise, my hair, as the old saying goes, stood up on my head and I tensed up and I thought, "What is this?" Well, I began to work toward the house, and it started again. And I tensed up again. And I still don't know what it was. But in darkness, folks, things like that is very eerie and scary. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to run. You can turn, like I said, I turned my light on, but I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see deer. I couldn't see any kind of birds. I couldn't see bears. I couldn't see a thing. There was nothing out there. It was just dark. And they were, something was moving and rustling. And it wasn't just a little rustle. It was a big rustle. So whatever it was a pretty good sized animal or whatever. And I didn't want to be a food for them that night. I got inside real quick. Didn't have no problems once I got in where the light was. I was okay. Multitude of people sitting in darkness. Luke, the first chapter. First chapter of Luke, the 79th verse. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Tonight, are you in darkness? Are you in a place that you've lost your light, or you've never had light, you've never had understanding, you've never had the God of heaven visit you and begin to enlighten you and help you? and teach you and work with you. Listen tonight. The very workings of the Spirit of God is the most tender workings, but is also the most valuable, the most wonderful workings. And folks, tonight you can't turn this light on like a light switch and off. When He begins to come, you've got to allow Him to work. You've got to respond to that work. You've got to open your heart to that work. Listen, folks, you can't get saved. You can't get sanctified. You can't get healed, basically. You've got to have the light of God flowing and working and helping you and I. And there are multitudes of people that is sitting in darkness that have never had and never got what they've had. But they rejected. They turned it down. They rebelled against it. They backed off from it. I don't want that. I don't want to change. I don't want to quit my old ways. And the light of God shining down, calling and working. Telling me, are you that labor heavy laden? And I'll give you rest. And yet they're pushing it off. Listen, you're pushing off Jesus. You're pushing off the very one that can illuminate, save, and deliver, and bless. You're pushing off the very one that's got the greatest light that's ever been. I love the sunlight. This artificial light's okay, but I like a beautiful sunny day at about 85 degrees with a light wind. My congregation home knows when we get a day like that, that's Brother Carl's day. I love that because the light is beaming. The light is warming. The light is working. And it's a beautiful way to have. I'm going to tell you the light of God that is flowing and streaming down and coming to you tonight. That is a beautiful light. You don't want to reject that or turn it off in any way. Isaiah 60th chapter. Let's go there. 60th chapter and the first verse. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. And they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Oh, it said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. Oh, tonight, no doubt, the light of God has come to every one of us in this building. Everyone that's sat in a service, the light of God has shined. Listen, Jesus ain't off dead, folks. He's not hid away. When Guthrie has a meeting, or Shawnee has a meeting, or West Virginia has a meeting, or Monarch has a meeting. Listen, the workings of the Spirit of God is there. He knows. He calls. He works. He labors. He loves to go to meeting. He wants to there and lightning and shining down. Listen, folks, when that light begins to come, when He begins to woo and call, listen, arise. Arise and shine, praise God, for thy light is come. Listen, how much light has He given you in this meeting, and how much have you responded to that light? Oh, but then it said, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth in gross darkness. Oh, the most horrible darkness in the world is spiritual darkness. Religious darkness. Oh, there are multitudes of people out there that is in religious darkness. They say, yeah, I go to church, but they have no idea what salvation is. The song we sung a while ago, the Lamb is the light of the, however it says that, the light of the city or whatever. Listen, the Lamb is the light of the church of God too. That's what makes us what we are. That's what illuminates and lights. That's what makes a difference of people. People out there in Babylon, they'll go to church and go to the bars on Monday and the ball games on Friday and they're watching TV the rest of the week and they're doing sin, and they can't quit sin. I tell you why they can't give it up. They've never had the light, but they go to church. They put their money in. They bake a cake for the preacher. They pat him on the back, shake his hand. But the bottom line is, it's a light. Arise, for thy light is come. Pray God. If it's come to you in this meeting, I want to blame you. Don't turn it down. Don't push it off. Don't say, I don't want it. Because that's your salvation. If you receive it and respond to it, Jesus will save you or bless you in whatever you need and deliver you and make you a new creature in Christ. Oh, tonight, people are out there doing their thing tonight. And they're in such darkness. Gross darkness. Gross darkness. Thick darkness. Horrible darkness. And I'm going to tell you, there's people out there that's gotten deceived and imbibed those spirits of the world, and you deal with them and it won't do you a bit of good. I was dealing with a man one time. Matter of fact, one night, if I remember, Brother Earl was there and myself, and there was a third man in the janitor company there, and this other man, and the Lord had spoke to me early on this man, and He told me, He said, you can't do that man any good. Okay. But I was caught trying. I was caught trying that night, and all three of us, we could give him scripture after scripture after scripture. We could work with him. We could talk to him. It didn't do a bit of good. He was in gross darkness. He had imbibed the spirit of Babylon. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a Babylonian spirit out there that's extremely dangerous. It is a spirit that is hard to deal with. I'm going to tell you, I went to a tent meeting one time years ago in Kentucky in my early ministry, and there was a man showed up, and Brother Simmons was there, and Brother Fox was there in the little congregation, and he and Brother Simmons holding his meeting, and I showed up and had a little burden, I felt like a little message, and so this man showed up, and Brother Simmons didn't tell me, nor Brother Fox didn't tell me what this man was. And I got up to preach that night. And I'm going to tell you, let me tell you what it was like. It was like a big cookie monster standing right in front of me. And every time I opened my mouth, he opened his. And he'd every word I had. There was no power. There was no anointing. There was nothing. I couldn't do a thing. I struggled for about however long, 15 minutes maybe, I quit. I just flat sat down because I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't know what was fighting me, what was pressing against me, and I was struggling with it. And I'm going to tell you, dear Brother Salmon's come to me after the meeting. He got up and tried to salvage the service. And he got up, or he come to me later. He said, I'm sorry, Brother Carl. He said, I knew what was there. It was a Pentecostal spirit, and that thing was resisting you, and you didn't fighting against. I didn't, folks. That thing was strong. Now then, I would know more how to handle it. But back then, I was a babe preacher, so to speak, a novice, young, and I didn't know what I'd deal with. But I'm going to tell you, that thing was a spirit that was fighting me and pushing against me and hindering me every step of the way. Babylon. People need to be delivered from Babylon. They need to come out and leave Babylon. And a lot of them are there because they rejected light. They rejected light. There was a music teacher that our daughters had down in South Carolina. Very, very Babylonish woman. Good-looking woman. And Erlang, pretty woman. She could sing. She could play the piano. She could teach students and so forth. And so she asked some questions and so forth. So we loaned her one of the books to read. She gave it back one day and she never said anything about what was in that book. She never asked Rebecca and I one question after that. She had her answers. She's gotten worse and she's gotten worse and she's gotten worse. But she's still singing in the choir. She's still raising her hand. She's still doing what she does. But the bottom line is the girl's, the lady's in darkness and she needs to come out. She needs to be delivered. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be as seen upon thee. All right, let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter. Isaiah 2, we'll start reading at 1. The light of God. The darkness of the enemy. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. many people should go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And then it said, O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Come, O house of Jacob, and walk. Let us walk. Let us do what God wants us to do. It's time to rise and shine. It's time to do what the Lord, Ecclesiastes 11:7, I believe, said, the light is sweet. Praise God, the light of God, the workings of the Spirit of God. Well, even the sunlight. Listen, when you're sick and you go all night in sickness, what do you like to have the next morning? The sunlight. It's the most beautiful thing. When I was sitting in 87 and over in West Virginia, they had those big pine trees there, and the light would get to coming down, and it would look like it'd break into beams. And I would stand in the morning, and I'd look out those windows of Brother Mark's home, and I'd look at that beams of sunlight coming down. It was such a blessing. It lifted me, it encouraged me, it strengthened me. Listen today, folks, when the beams of Jesus, when those sunbeams are coming down. It's time to walk in the light, praise God. It's time to get up. Listen, folks, today, you and I have got to have this light. We can't turn it off and push it back. We've got to have the light of God. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Are you walking in that light tonight? Are you walking in that light? All right, let's go to John, the 8th chapter. John 8 and 12. Brother Gordon read this one the other night. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Jesus speaking now. I am. I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me. Now there's requirements on this light. In a house, you can go in a house, and you can go any room you want to and turn the light off in there. I mean, the light on in there. But you can leave all the other lights off in the house. A lot of times, Rebecca's back in her office. I'm in our bedroom where my office is. And that's the main two lights of the house, right there. But I have another light that I leave on in the living room. It's one of these little curly Q things. And I leave it on. I may let it burn all evening long, just so when I walk out of my bedroom, I have some light to see. And I can go to where Rebecca is, or I can go here or there or whatever. It's not a real bright light, but it's enough light to give light to where you can get around good. You can read by it if you're sitting there by it and so forth. But the night, I don't have to have that light on. I can turn it off. You can't do that with God. In the house of God, there's light in every room. And in your personal light, if you try to turn off light over here and on over there, that ain't going to work, folks. Come on, Lord, help us now. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. I am the light, and he that followeth me. Listen, when Jesus comes along and begins to deal with us and call after us and do what he does with us, listen, folks, we're not at liberty to just pick and choose, flip up and down, turn off and on. We've got to follow Jesus. That light is for us. Every one of us, God deals differently with. He deals with the body in the same way, in a sense, but every one of us, God deals and works and gives light and conviction at different times, at different ages and so forth, different workings in the Spirit of God. And the bottom line is, you don't just go over here and flip it on and flip it off. You can't do that. God says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Listen, the problem is, when people begin to go back into darkness, they quit following God. And they start turning stuff off. I don't want this over here. I don't like that. And that's where they start getting in trouble. Lord, help us tonight. Said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me. Are you following God tonight? Have you followed him in every precept and dealings and workings of the Spirit of God that he's given you? Young people, I plead with you, don't just try this trick over here. Flip it on and then flip it off. No, you can't do God that way. God is the giver of the light. God is the giver of the light. So consequently, when he starts shining, I am the light of the world. I am the light of every individual that's going to get to heaven. Listen, we've got to have this light to get saved. He calls, he deals, he works, he begins to shine down. Listen, I said the other night, sisters, I said to you there that we're going to start cleaning. And then I'm going to turn all the lights off. And I want to see how good you can clean. I can clean, but I can't clean in the dark. You can't see the dust. You can't see the spots in the bathtub or on the vanity or wherever. You can't get the cobwebs. You can't see anything. All you're doing is groping in the dark. You and I don't know how to work. You and I don't know how to clean. You and I don't know how to do what we need to do if we go turning this light off. God comes in and he begins to specify and deal. Let me give something here to encourage us tonight. Last summer, I made a mistake. I listened to somebody. I believe Brother Michael asked if anybody's ever lived for God and never made a mistake or something like that, and nobody took him up on it. I made a mistake. And after I saw what had happened, then I began to, Lord, have mercy on me. And I began to repent and ask the Lord to help me and work with me. And he did. But I don't know about you, but I find myself coming back around. I always want to double and be sure. So I'm coming back around a little bit later, double and being sure. Now this is nighttime, and Becky's asleep, and I'm awake, and suffering and so forth with this leg of God. And I'm there, and I'm hurting and so forth. And the Lord begins to deal with me. And the Bible said, if thou wouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Yes. So what does it say? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest fear. Yes. Reverend, respected, loved. Anyway, he come around and I'm there and I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. And I'm just trying to double check and be sure. And the Lord stopped me and he said, what do I teach you? I said, you teach me to forgive. Okay. He said, if I teach you to forgive, will I forgive? Yeah. But this is what got my attention. He said, child, I am the spirit of forgiveness. I want to encourage you tonight, folks. If you do try to mess with this light, there is forgiveness, but you got to walk in it after you confess it. After you repent of it, you got to walk in it. He said, I am the spirit of forgiveness. If I tell you to forgive somebody, if I teach you to forgive the people that hurt you and so forth, he said, don't I forgive? Yes, sir. I've forgiven you then, child. Praise God. He forgive me of the problem. He forgive me of the mistake. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Lord wants to forgive people. He shines the light down. He picks on or illuminates and works on the different areas of our life. I am the light of the world. I want to forgive you. I want to bless you. I want to work with you. I want to help you. But you've got to walk in the light as he is the light. Because if you don't, darkness is going to come upon you. I am. He that followeth me. How close are we following tonight? What got Peter in trouble? Because he was right up by Jesus' side. Following afar off. Following afar off. Children, don't get far away from Jesus. That's the best friend you could ever have. Young people, stay close to Jesus. Peter got in trouble. Jesus told Peter what he was going to do. And Peter, he said, well, I'm willing to do this and do that, even go with thee under death, I believe it was, or something like that. And Jesus said, you will deny me. Oh, no, I won't do that now. But he did, didn't he? He denied, I am the light of the world. I'm going to tell you, Peter's light, he was following too far away. It got dim. He got in trouble, did he not? Let's go to Psalms, the 36th chapter. Time's getting away on him. 36 and 9, the good book of Psalms. For with thee is the fountain of light. In thy light shall we see light. I'm going to tell you what, that light comes, and that's when you can begin to see things. You can begin, it'll illuminate and work on things and show things. Listen, there's been times in my experience that God began to open things up, and the lighter that light comes and brighter and so forth, the more beautiful God. I thought, I need to do this, this, this. I've done multitudes of cleaning for many years. I do some cleaning right now. And there have been times that I have cleaned something and thought I had it cleaned pretty good. And then I would happen to get back, and I would get the sunlight shining on a table, on a glass, a window, a mirror, whatever it might be. And I would get back and I would look at that, and when I would, I'd say, I missed something. In thy light. The light shows it up. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord starts pinpointing things in this meeting, don't run and hide. Say, thank you for the light, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the light. Because you and I cannot see to totally do everything we need to do if we shut out the light. If we turn off the light. And so, Lord, help us. When He begins to beam down, open your heart fully and say, Lord, shine in thy light where I can see everything, praise God. I don't want to shortchange myself at all. I want to do everything you want me to do. That's what we need to do tonight. 8 and 20 of Isaiah. 8 and 20 of Isaiah. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Have you ever wondered why people out there talked about being maybe saved or talked about going to church and so forth, but yet it was just totally opposite to what you understood? And you look the whole situation over, they don't have any light. They don't have any understanding. They're in darkness. They cannot properly interpret the Word of God without the light of God. You and I can't properly tell people what the Word of God says without His light showing us what it says. I can't figure this Word out in my own natural sense. It takes the light of God shining down on that light. And there's multitudes of people in darkness out there that's struggling. And they'll say this and say that. It's totally opposite to what you and I believe. But the bottom line is they don't have any light. They don't have any understanding. They don't have any wisdom by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. They're just out there saying this and saying that. Why, I've heard of people that said, why, if the Holy Ghost told me to kill somebody, I'd kill somebody. Now, that's totally opposite to the Word of God. I know people right now that believe you can go to war and shoot somebody, and you'd be clear to do it. I've tried to talk to them. I've tried to deal with them. It's like talking to a brick wall. I can't get anywhere. And I preached on peace and I preached on this, but don't seem to be doing a bit of good. There is something wrong, folks, when that kind of stuff is going on. It is because there's no light. No light. That's the reason. There's no light. How's your light tonight? Is God shine light down on your pathway? Have you accepted it? Have you asked, Lord, give me more light? How many of you have been asking the Lord in this meeting, Lord, give me more light? I want more light, praise God. I don't want to just be right here. I want you to illuminate more. I want you to show more to me. You know, if we ain't careful, we'll pat the flesh and pamper the flesh and all kind of stuff. The light of God will cut across the flesh by the Word of God.
it will begin to reason and deal with her and say, you can't do that. Uh-oh. The light of God. The light of God illuminating and showing you and helping you to see and understand that that's not right. That's not right. Let's go to John 3 and 18. St. John 3 and 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Those out there in sin, they don't like light, folks. Why is most crime done at night? Because there's a darkness. There's a veil. People can't see them. So they get out there doing all this stuff. The only problem is, anymore, there's quite a bit of lights, artificial lights out there, and there's something else called security cameras that's looking down. And I get amazed of what I hear and read and so forth of how that we got so-and-so on the security camera. Seems like you can't really hardly commit a crime anymore if it's around a business or around a buildings or so forth because of these cameras everywhere. The tsunami in Japan, I saw things, pictures and so forth, and they said that was taken by them kind of cameras. I thought, these cameras are everywhere. Those eyes of those cameras are everywhere. God's eye is everywhere. He's looking down. He's seeing you tonight. And He's seeing you, and He knows whether you're saying, Lord, I want more light, or whether you're saying, no, I don't want any more light, or just exactly where you're at. He's looking, He's working and laboring to try to get you to accept everything He wants you to have. But he that doeth truth, he that doeth truth, cometh to the light. That person that wants more light, more understanding. Do we appreciate, saints, do we appreciate the light tonight? Do we really appreciate what we've got? Do we really love it? Do we appreciate it? Are we willing to do? I'm telling you, I'm grieved deeply because of what I've seen down through time of people that have moved away from the light, bless your heart. They had it, and it looked like they were doing everything they could do, and all of a sudden, they begin to back up and back up. And from that point, I've seen great things begin to happen that wasn't good. We need to appreciate this light. Saints, we've got the greatest thing in the world. Let's not let it get away from us. The greatest blessing, the working. This meeting has been so rich. We had that tent meeting in Prague. I appreciate everybody that come and supported that meeting and everything. I got me a good feast in that meeting, praise God, because Jesus was there, praise God. He was shining His light down. He was dealing, He was working, He was calling and so forth. I appreciate that. Listen, folks, you can go out there to Babylon and it ain't there. I've had people that own funeral homes, and I've heard them. I don't guess there's anybody. Well, I don't know. I'd have to think of that. There was a man by the name of Ernest. It was my sister had a son, Brother Leslie, that got killed when that car fell off back a number of years ago. Harold, that's it. I know it wasn't Ernest. I knew that didn't sound right. Harold. And I happened to be in the back. I was at an office. I was in Mr. Smith's office. And this is when the old man was still alive then. And the saints were singing, the young people, whoever was doing the singing. It was you. And I heard this man make a statement. He said that he's the most beautiful singer I've ever heard. Why? I've heard them make statements about messages that have been preached in funerals. Why? I never heard anything like that. There was one that a minister was telling me right here in this meeting of a message in a service that Brother Mark conducted way up in north up somewhere. That man had never forgotten. And he said, I've done hundreds of funerals. And he was telling Brother Marty, said, I couldn't forget that because it was the presence and the light and the workings of the Spirit of God. Listen, folks, we've got to have this. We can't let it get away from us, praise God. Lord, help us. My burden tonight is that we work with the light, not against the light. We don't try to flip it and switch it. We don't try to turn it up and down. We just accept it, praise God. Lord, give me the light of your heart. Let me have it all, praise God. The more you give, the more I can see and the more I can do in my spiritual life to please you, praise God. I want to follow you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to soul. I want to do whatever you want me to do. Oh, saints, tonight, don't back up on the light. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you tonight. That you walk in the light. The entrance, 119, 130 of Psalm said, the entrance of thy word, words giveth light. And giveth understanding to the simple. I'm going to tell you, the Lord is able to get anything to anybody. You don't have to have a college degree to understand, because God is able to enlighten you with the Spirit of God, and He can teach you what He wants you to know. He can give you doctrine. He can illuminate that. I've known of ministers and so forth that spent hours at night studying and laboring, trying to, beseeching God to give them more understanding and so forth. And God was flooding them and enlightening them with the very foundation doctrines of the Bible and the Church of God. And those ministers stood on them and they went all the way with it till their death. Praise God. And I heard one of them say one time, he said, I'm glad I had that kind of understanding. He said, that way, when the hard times come, I was solid. I could stand. Listen, if you want to stand with God, you're going to have to stand in the light. You're going to have to stand in the doctrines. You're going to have to stand by the Spirit. And God will illuminate. He will hold you. He will help you. He said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. This Bible is darkened to a lot of people. He said he hid it from the scribes and the Pharisees. But when he revealed it unto the babes, praise God, he showed them. He illuminated them. That's why we're where we're at tonight. Because Jesus illuminated. Listen, what is the church of God? The church of God is what it is because of the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost. That's why we're what we are. You take that from us and we ain't no better than anybody else. Amen. You take the Spirit from us, we'll fall flat on our face just like all the rest of the dark creeds that are out there, all the dark battles and so forth. We've got to have this. We've got to hold on. We've got to stand in the things that God has given us down through the years. Because if we don't, we're no better than anybody else. What happened to Anderson? Why did Anderson do what they done? Because they moved away from this. My wife has a cousin that was in the Anderson church. She had an uncle that was a pastor, and his son was also a pastor, worked. And so we was up near Anderson, Indiana, and Rebecca said, you know, I'd like to go by and see Lovell. I'd never met him. I didn't know him from anybody else. I said, okay, sweetheart, we'll do that. So we did. And we come through there, and we went in the bookstore and everything, and I got to kind of looking around and watching people. And I thought, this used to be, now it's been many years ago. But the bottom line was, they at one time had the power and the glory, but because they began to walk back to the light, they began to refuse it, they began to reach out to the world, they began to go after what that they shouldn't have gone after, and those things had enveloped them, and the very thing they were reaching out after took them over, praise God, and they were just no better than anybody. I looked at it, and I was sick. We went to the great round tabernacle.
And we looked at him a little bit. And Lovell was cordial. He was nice. He was loving. But the bottom line was they had walked back of light till they was in the most sad, sickening condition. One brother here told me personally that they went by there one time. And he was telling me some of the things that was going on. It just made us sick. And they one time was the church of God. And we were all together working. But they began to walk back of that light. I'm begging you with everything in my power by the Holy Ghost tonight not to back away and walk back. Don't do it. I beg you, don't do it. My burden tonight is that we appreciate what we have. We appreciate it. We long for it. We want more of it. We desire more of it. People say, well, you're just a bunch of old fogies. Amen. That's fine. You think what you will. But I tell you right now, I would rather be in this good meeting than in the upper echelon of the riches. I've been in their mansions. I've worked for them. I've watched them. I've seen them. But I'd rather be right here. I'd rather be here than the President of the United States. I'd rather be here than a senator or a congressman or a king or a queen. I'd rather be here with a rolling people of Jesus feasting in this good meeting than to be in the highest places man can achieve. Because this is the greatest thing in the world right here. So much better than anything else. All right, let's move just a little further and we're going to quit. Let's go to 1 John. First John 1:5. This then is a message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And we walk in the light as He is in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. I want to read that one more time. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. You need to write this down and put it on your refrigerator, on your mirror, in your bathroom. You need to have it in front of your eyes at all times. We have fellowship one with another. Now then, some people say, well, this is talking about the saints and their fellowship. Well, you may want to take it that way, but all the commentators and so forth, when I got to digging into this, what this is really talking about is fellowship with Jesus. Because we're walking in His light. I want to be close to God. You better walk in the light. You better walk in the light, praise God. He said, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, praise God. But if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Lord, have mercy. That's a dangerous place to be in. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. How many of you enjoy having fellowship with Jesus? How many of you had prayed through and you knew without a shadow of doubt Jesus was right there with you? The communion, the blessings, the glory. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Praise God. Getting down. And Brother Louis Marler made a statement one time. Brother Darius Gibson told him, he said, Brother Louis, he said, when you read the Bible, God is talking. No, when you pray, he said, you're talking to God. But see, when you read the Bible, God's talking. You get out and you're praying, and the Lord comes along and starts giving you the Scripture. Starts enlightening and uplifting. Starts giving you more understanding. Or maybe you're just reading the Word of God and He's doing that. Praise God. Sister Connie said the other morning her message, she laid down, she couldn't go to sleep because God was feeding her. Praise God. He was just rolling through her heart and her mind. The riches are nothing better than that. Praise God. Have fellowship with Him. I like fellowship with you all, but the greatest fellowship with Christ. Praise God. I can have that anywhere. I'd be thousands of miles away from you all and have fellowship with Jesus. Oh, today, that time Rebecca was sick. Back there in 1987, after she had Cynthia, and she went through all those problems. That was quite a year for Rebecca and I. She had all those problems, and I was called, and she was having some real trouble. And I talked to her, and somebody said, well, what you need to do is get the preacher and come up here and pray for her. I said, sounds like a good idea. So here I come. I was going to gather all of y'all together, the minister, to take you to the house and anoint her and pray for her. And I called a little bit later. I said, sweetheart, how are you doing? She said, Jesus is just past time. Praise God. If Jesus beat you preachers down there, praise the Lord. He passed by. He touched her. He blessed her. All the fellowship is so sweet when you and Jesus is talking and praying and doing what you do. I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest thing to have fellowship with Jesus. But we do it because we walk in the light. As He is in the light. Are you doing that tonight? Is there any place that you're trying to renege on? Any place you're trying to turn down the light a little bit? Oh, well, I want to do this. This sounds real good. No, I don't do that. No, I just can't quite do that. And then you get out of the place and you can't find Jesus anywhere. Uh-oh. You can't get a hold of him. It seems like your prayers go about 10 feet up in the air and stop right there. Lord, help us. You want to just open up and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do. Whatever, Lord. I want to do that. Are you doing that in this meeting? Or have you tried to turn it down, flip it off, reject it? No, I don't want to do that. There is times that the light of God coming and opening up and revealing things to you and I can be pretty tough. But what did he say over there? Wasn't it over elevation? He said, eat the word of God. And it's sweet, something like that. It gets down in your belly and it's sweet or whatever. Oh, if you'll just do what Jesus wants you to do, it'll be sweet. Because he give grace to go with the word and the leadings and the light, and then it's just sweet unto you. Matthew 6, chapter 22nd verse. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. And if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If that eye be clear, where that light can get in, you take a window that is fogged up or dirty, the light can't pass through it like it needs. You can see through it, but it's not as clear as it would be otherwise. Rebecca and I was in Ohio one time in the summertime. We were traveling, and I never had figured out what happened. But my windows started fogging up on the inside. And I tried this and I tried that. It took me a little bit to finally get the right everything to where it would clear off. I told Becky, I said, I don't understand it. We've been riding for miles, and all of a sudden it's doing this. Still don't totally understand it. I'm going to tell you what tonight. You want the eye to be clear and open where that light can shine right down into the body. Where it can come in, where it can get down in there. You don't want it diseased. Listen, one commentator brought out on this 23rd verse, if the eye be evil, if the eye is going after covetous things, if it's reaching out after the world, if it's beginning to want to do things that it shouldn't do, then that brings darkness. But the eye that is clear and single, that is the one that is holy after God. And God can bless that and work with that. Let's close in John the 12th chapter, St. John 12:36. Yeah, 35. That's what I want. Thank you. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, at night when I'm trying to sleep, I don't like a lot of light. In the daytime, if I try to sleep, I try to get as dark as I can. Sometimes I put something over my eyes or whatever to cover it where it's as dark, where I can sleep. I get up at night to go around in the house. Sometimes I have to walk because of my leg problem. I'll walk with my eyes closed. That caused me a problem a time or two, as I bump into something. But I'll walk with my eyes closed. I was walking down this hallway the other night, and I don't know, I must have about fell asleep. I found myself, I run right into that corner out there. Boom! I hurt my arm, my wrist. I thought, boy, you're in a mess. I know another minister done the same thing. They run, slam into a door. I said, how did you do that? I got my eyes closed. I was walking with my eyes closed. Well, I do the same thing, so I can't pick on them. But anyway, he says here, he said, yet a little while is the light with you. Yet a little while is the light with you. Yet a little while. The Lord, when He begins to give light, how long does He work with that if we start rejecting that? It would vary per person because of age and understanding and so forth. And you can't put a hard, fast rule, I don't think, on it. But yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. In other words, Jesus, what He's dealing with here, the bottom line is Jesus is there with them right now. Walk while you have Him with you. Walk in the light and so forth. But you apply it to you and I today. Walk while you have the light. Because it leaves the impression here that if you don't walk then, you're going to have darkness after a while. You're going to have darkness. So are you walking in that tonight? Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now, I've been in a lot of houses in my last 35 years or so. 30 years. I've stayed in a lot of houses. And I've had to get up at night sometimes. And in a house that you don't know very well, you can really mess up real quick. You can trip over things, even with your eyes open. Even with your eyes open and it's dark in there and you don't know that room very well, you can trip and fall. Or bang into something or knock something over, whatever. You can do that. I'm going to tell you what tonight. When the light is on you, you can see, you can understand, you can do. But if you're not walking in that, while you have that light, spiritual understanding, that darkness has come upon you. And for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light. Are you believing in the light tonight? Are you believing in it? Do you appreciate it? That I don't know if I've got my burden across or not. But the bottom line is I'm pleading with you to appreciate this light and walk in this light. We've got to have it, children, saints, young people, older people, middle-aged and young. We've got to have this light. The devil is fighting this with everything he's got. Amen. I don't know what you know and what you don't know, but the devil is working hard, harder now than he's ever worked, to cause problems so people will walk in the darkness and not in the light. He said here, while you have the light, believe in the light, respond to the light, do the light, that you may be children of light. You and I cannot be children of light if we're rejecting the light.